gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Fox from the Grapple Arcade. I didn't see you, Mark.
I'm well, mate. How are you?
I'm very good.
Very good.
Good man.
So, before we start, do you want to remind our listeners what Grapple Arcade is?
Absolutely. Yep. Grapple Arcade is a retro wrestling themed computer game night stroke events that we run at different bars and pubs in the Northeast, but we also run at different conventions and exhibitions around the country, including we just managed to sort out a slot at the Wrestling MediaCon in Manchester in next month. So that should be cool.
You're there on the Saturday and we're there on the Sunday. I'm going gutted.
If we can stay for the Sunday. They want us to stay for the Sunday. If we can, we will, but we do have another booking in, so we just need to, we'll see what happens.
So shall we jump straight into it? Shall we start a review by saying who was in the crowd? So it was Matt Riddle, looking very snappy, I thought.
Indeed, yeah. He had a nice pop as well, so people are excited, as they usually are.
Yeah, it's lovely wears that match, and he had a bright luminous green tie on, a purple shirt, a blue jacket, blue and yellow flip-flops on, and then a cap.
You can just tell already he's going to be cool as shit when he comes.
I just hope they let him still be barefoot and don't drug test him as often as they should.
Well, he was wearing flip-flops, so at least, you know, that's more of a hint, isn't it? It's kind of a nod. You never know.
And I hope they do a Matt Riddle, Keith Lee program, because their match at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla last year, maybe 18 months, I can't remember. It was amazing. I saw that online. I recommend you look that up, everyone.
Will do.
So we'll go straight into it. So we've got, it was the champions, the Undisputed Era versus Mustache Mountain. So I think both teams did amazing. They both delivered some great tag team work.
It was shit hot. It was absolutely brilliant. Cracking tag team match. I'll be completely honest, I'm a fan of everybody in there, but not as much of Trent Seven, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know. I get him. I understand it. It's just he just doesn't do it massively for me. I'm going to be completely honest. Tyler, yep. The guy's an Undisputed Era, yep. But Trent, sort of dislike him. It's just not my flavour.
I don't think they've let him bring his full character out yet.
I agree. They haven't, and he's a bit bland. You know, he's the blandest guy in that ring during that match at the moment. And hopefully they do. Hopefully they let him have a bit more rope. You know, let him play a little bit.
Yeah, because when you see him on the British scene, you can't take his eye off him because he's so charismatic and so
completely
funny.
Agree. Completely agree, and I don't know if it's because I don't know. This again, really like Tyler Bate and Trent. I enjoyed his work prior to NXT. I don't know if this gimmick tag team with. Well, I just think it's a bit crap, to be honest with you. It doesn't really do for me at all. But Tyler, yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ, some of the stuff that he was pulling off in that match was fantastic, unbelievable. Whereas Trent, he coasts a bit. Maybe it's just because there's so much going on from Tyler. I think that's probably what it comes down to. Trent doesn't stand out as much, and he's more the quiet tag team partner, if you like. He's definitely in the shadow compared to Tyler, in my opinion.
If you think of the highlights of the matches, they all involved Tyler. So you've got the aeroplane, stroke, king of swing, I can't remember what it's called, which God knows how he does that. I don't know how he carries. He's got 500 pounds spinning around. Basically.
Oh, it's mad, man. I mean, God, he's unbelievable. Yeah, like you say, though, hopefully they will give Trent a little bit more, give a bit more leeway, and see, let him play with it a bit, you know?
Yeah. I'd say if they get Pearls up to the main roster, I'd like to see him in more of a managerial role to Trent and Peter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Kyle and Strong, though, I mean, they just keep getting better, don't they? They're just great. They really are. That faction is so good. And I was one of the ones that was a little bit questioning the when they first turned up, and you know, I don't want to be one of those pricks who complains about size and things like that, but it is a little bit tricky when you see some of the guys are kicking about. Yes, and fair play NXT, there's generally a bit of a smaller roster in terms of size and things of that nature, but I mean, yeah, that went out the window after about week 3 or something like that. They're shit hot. They're great.
It'd be interesting seeing Adam Cole standing next to some of the main roster, because he's 5'9" or something. It's not big. It's not tall at all, is it?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it, to be honest. Yeah, saying that, if he plays the character he's got now, but turns that kind of whiny sort of... Yeah, I think it'll work. I think it'll be pretty good, especially if he's got guys he can turn around to and, you know, having his back, so to speak. But maybe he needs some bigger dudes, if he goes. I don't know. Who knows?
That's it. If they get to the main
roster, they're all shit hot in NXT.
So, if they get to the main roster, they could bring in people like Joe. Maybe add...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe for Cesaro, I'm trying to think of ex-ROH guys.
Yeah, well not just you could have anybody. You could have anybody pretty much stood behind him. Do some with Rusev. just give him a couple of absolute huge hosses.
Yeah.
To kind of watch his back, and yeah, it'd be cool, man. But either way, what they're doing at the moment with Undisputed Era is fantastic, and they've nailed it. That tag team match was one of the best of the year by far.
And I hope they stay in NXT for another at least 6 months to a year, because what they're doing with tag teams when they bring them up at the moment is terrible. When you just look at Officer Pain and Sanity.
I was about to say, what's happened with those guys?
Nothing.
Absolutely nicks.
Officer Pain are in a feud with Titus Worldwide.
Oh, great.
Well, they should be. I mean, Sanity?
Wow.
I don't know, they started a mini feud with the New Day, but lost both matches, and then I haven't seen them. And
they've got, it's unreal, isn't it?
Killian Dane is weird.
That's a show in itself, that one. You know, and I'm sure everybody has an opinion. All of your listeners will have an opinion of what the hell is going on with everybody who's called up, bar the odd one. You don't want anybody to get called up, do you?
No.
Because of fear of just getting shit out.
They're slowly getting Andrea almost okay. Even though he's on the kickoff show tonight. He's been having good matches with like AJ.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you can't expect. The weird thing is, you can't expect somebody. You can't expect everybody to turn up onto the main shows and be shit hot off the bat and continue that momentum, because if that's the case and everybody goes in there at high mid card to world championship level, you can't expect everybody to be that. To flood that market, if you like. But why call them up then?
That's what I say. That's the argument to stay in NXT until you have something for you.
Completely. Have something for them before you call them up, rather than just, let's call them up because NXT is getting too heavy. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's when NXT starts getting a bit heavy in terms of, alright, there's several people now. McIntyre, he's killing it still, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's doing grand.
He's doing really well.
Yeah, he's been grand, and he's managed single-handedly to give Ziggler something.
He's making relevance again for the first time in at least 3 years.
This is the Bevway, the Northern Bruiser Drill. You're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Okay, if we bring it back to the match, were you disappointed?
Yeah.
Were you disappointed that Mustard Mountain didn't retain the titles, or were you happy as well?
Very happy. I think they need to cut. I like this whole the running the show kind of thing. I'm very happy for them to keep hold of it. No problem at all with that.
And then in the aftermath for you, I want to say War Machine, War Raiders. I can't.
Yeah.
It's War Machine. War Raiders is an awful name. I don't know why they agreed to that. So.
No, it's terrible. Yeah, I don't think it needed it. I don't think it needed it. I think, you know, it was talking. It fitted them on, they fit them on, you know. It didn't need it for me. But I can see why they did it. It just wasn't required, as far as I'm concerned. Save that for next week.
Yeah, it's something they could have just thrown on NXT. So.
Absolutely.
But I'm happy because I like. They're a good tweener team, War Raiders. So you could have them going against Undisputed Era, and it'd be, if they won, you could see Mustache Mountain coming in, and it won't disrupt anything because they can be face or heel and don't have to change their style that much. So.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I'm happy with them being involved, so don't get me wrong. Whether it was required at the end of this match on the pay-per-view, then I don't know. It didn't need it for me, but nothing against it. It's fine. I want to see them being absolutely destructive, though.
Yeah.
That's what I want. For me, they need to be the authors of pain now that they're not there. That's what they need to be. So hopefully they'll go down that route a bit in terms of just sheer destruction.
That's why I thought also pain got took up, because they kind of fill the same gap.
Yeah. Completely, and I think that's what seems to happen with anybody that gets taken up. You look at who else they've got, and you know, when it's getting a bit heavy on the on NXT in terms of how many people they've got needing a match each week and each pay-per-view, then you can understand why they call certain people up. But at the same time, it's such a shame that they aren't prepared.
Yeah. Well, originally they said, it was one of the things Triple H said when he took over, when they get called up, he wants like a 6-month plan. Already written out type thing for each person that goes up.
Yeah.
Kind of just fell bad.
Well,
away, so.
they maybe have got a 6-month plan, but it's absolutely shit, basically. A 6-month plan of just go and sit over there for a bit and do nothing.
Alright, so next up was Velveteen Dream versus EC3. I thought this match was overall, it was good, it was fun. I thought there was a few.
It was fun.
There's a few dodgy moments, but I thought the ending was good. I like the Death Valley driver onto the apron and then the elbow drop onto him. I thought that.
And then the elbow off the top. It was a cracking finish. Dream is one of the best in the business right now. Yes, he's still a little bit green in the ring.
Is he 23?
Barely. I think he's pretty much got it. I think Dream is spot on. I think EC3 is overrated for me personally. I think. The hype, I get it, but it's not deserved yet for me at all. He's got a really good face. His face is full of character.
Yeah.
His posture, his stance, his general poise is great. His in-ring stuff is decent. It's good. There's times when I think he's a bit bland. I don't think his character's there yet. I think the outside of the ring stuff is. Mm. But even when he's in the ring, when he's shouting abuse, it's all very kind of just generic, crappy shouting. It's like there's nothing unique about what he's doing when he's in the ring. His whole persona is before he steps through the ropes. And it's a bit of a shame, really, because once he gets in there, he's all right. And I think, for me, dare I say it, this was the weakest match on the card.
Yeah, by far, I think.
I love Dream, but Dream is somebody who, for me, is much better when he goes in there with somebody established, somebody who is shit-hot in the ring, and he passes expectations. He goes in as the underdog, and people leave going, shit, he performed really well there. He's not green anymore. He's getting really, really good. He went against somebody, in my opinion, who's arguably not quite as good as him. And I think that showed. And I think EC3 can be good. He just isn't shown it yet. I don't know why. He doesn't seem. He's not putting in stellar performances yet. He's not putting in show-stopping performances yet. Nothing that he's done so far for me in NXT has screamed, I am the best on the card, and I'm trying to prove that I'm the best on the card tonight. Not yet.
No, he hasn't seemed to have brought his Impact wrestling character over, because his Impact character is based around he never lost. And he also had somebody big on the outside as like his bodyguard.
And yeah, exactly.
He's basically.
And at the moment,
he's a bit Bobby Roode.
He's a bit of a bland version of himself.
He should be a not a carbon copy of heel Bobby Roode NXT, but he was a similar.
Yeah, I agree. It's just that Roode did it better.
Yeah.
And now Roode's obviously being called up, and he's not doing it as well anymore. Well, he's a face or whatever the hell he is these days. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, he's basically a Roode, but. I think his facial expressions are one of the best in the business, EC3. He looks great. When you see his face, he's just got a great face.
Yeah, the promo package before the match, I thought was better than the match.
The matches aren't doing it for me at the moment. And I felt that it was interesting to see Velveteen Dream. Dream seemed in charge of the match for me in that bout. And usually he follows. To some extent, because he's new, bloody hell, he's new in the business, he's a young lad, and he's learning the trade still, and he's ace, he's nailing it so far. But yeah, it was interesting to see him in the lead, and I don't know if that was intentional, or I doubt it was, but he seemed to be the lead in that match for me, and he seemed a bit uncomfortable. And I think not trying to knock the match too much, because it was still a good match.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. It wasn't a showstopper, apart from a few spots that Dream did, which were very good.
It'll probably be better than.
Didn't really do anything for me at all.
No.
During that match, he did nothing above average.
I say, it'll probably be better than 90% of the stuff on SummerSlam tonight. But.
Oh, of course it will. Of course it will.
What did you think
of? I'll be overly critical here. I just want to say this to the listeners, and I'm being overly critical because I absolutely love NXT.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to. I could just, you know, harp on and rhyme on about how much I love it. But I feel like I have to pick faults because that's what you do when you love something. You know, you do it with your football team, you do it with whatever you know. It doesn't necessarily make it right, but yes, I'm picking faults purposefully here because. They've set their own level, and it's a very high bloody level. So if there's something that's not quite there, then it needs to be questioned.
Yeah. What did you think of Dream's attire? It says, "Call me up, Vince."
Thought it was fantastic. He also had a hole in his crotch. I don't think that was in the design. There's rumours of him being in trouble. I think that's bollocks. I think there's no way on earth he would have gone out wearing those if he didn't get the go-ahead to do it. He's not an idiot. You'd like to think. Hopefully he is in trouble, because it'll be clearly part of some kind of storyline, if he is. But yeah, he's just so good. Like, he's just so good. For somebody who isn't incredible in the ring, and whatever that means, he's not quite polished yet, but I've never seen somebody come in and sort of within a year make those steps to becoming as good. Well, I have seen that before a few times, actually, online. But with his whole package, his whole character, man, like, sky's the limit with him. Like, it really is.
Yeah, he got his character straight away, like he has, was probably Goldust back in the day. He was like, you believed. That's him. You don't think that... I don't know if Patrick Clark's like this outside wrestling, but he gets his character straight away.
You see that, and it's that, you know, it's a bit of a cocky Shawn Michaels, a bit of Rick Martel, a bit of Goldust, a bit of... just there's also a bit of Pillman, there's all sorts going on with it, and it's just... But he's nailed it. He's just like... He's just basically a really sexy man, isn't he? He's doing it well. Good on him. He's nailed it, and his character's absolutely mint. It's refreshing because it's real. It feels real, as you say.
Yeah. Should we move on to Ricochet defeated Adam Cole for the title? Were you surprised that a title changed hands?
I am, in a way. I didn't think it was going to change that quickly.
So when did he won it? I thought
it would have been a bit more time.
New Orleans, he won it, so he's had it 4 months.
Yeah, and let's be honest, in the scheme of things, you know, with holding on to titles in NXT. NXT is very much will hold on to titles for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there isn't any, and it's good, and it makes sense too. So I'm surprised that he lost it when he did. But no problem with it at all. I think these two have got a really, really good, great chemistry. It's hard not to with these two. Great chemistry. The storytelling's been really, really good. What's the phrase that, there's something that Cole's been banging on about for the last few weeks. You're not the chosen one, you're not number
says,
one.
There's good wrestlers, there's great wrestlers, and there's special wrestlers, and you're not special. I'm special.
You're not special, that was it.
So you're great, but you're not special.
You're not special. You kept banging on, you're not special. And I can't feel... And Ricochet was apparently knocked. he was knocked by the fact that he's not special. I can't sympathise with that. Mm. That's the only negative about that. Like, I can't sympathise with somebody who's a bit heartbroken because they're told they're not special. It's, you know, that's more of a heel thing to be upset about.
It's a very Jericho way of doing promos. You don't say your opponent's crap. You say he's brilliant, but I'm better.
Yeah, I know. No, I get it. I'm picking, picking straw here. That was a what a match, and yeah. Both of them are absolutely fantastic at what they do. Sweet, loved them, loved it, brilliant.
Yeah, I thought it was a great back and forth match with some great drama. Both guys looked great and delivered. I think Cole selling the loss was amazing at the end of the match.
Agree fully. Maybe it was time for him to drop it just because the lads held the tag belts, and it gives him something to chase as a pissed off heel, you know, be in his bonnet.
Hmm.
And I think angry, upset, irritated Adam Cole could be very, very fun.
Yeah. I still got to move him into the title scene, but then having Ciampa as the champion, or they're the ones who attacked.
I think what we'll do, once we get to that end match, there's a lot to talk about in that in the final match on here, and about what happens next. So that'll be an interesting character to come back to for that discussion.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say about this match?
I'm a bit surprised that there was no Undisputed Era nipping themselves down to ringside with it being a title on the line match. I mean, they get themselves involved in pretty much anything they can, so...
Yeah, I had this down as Ricochet winning by disqualification on my predictions.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I assumed that they'd get involved somehow, and it would maybe... If Ricochet was going to win, I assumed that they'd be there, and there'd be a bit of a... Maybe Bate and Seven would turn up and scare them off, and there'd be a kind of bit of a clusterfuck, and then Ricochet would...
In my head, that's why War Machine beat up the Undisputed Era after the match, because they're taken out now. So it had to be Adam Cole
by
himself.
Okay. Yeah, that paints that picture then, doesn't it, really? But there was no mention of it, and there was no mention of it. What would have been good is, I suppose what is good about NXT, it's pretty much straight into it, not messing about. But for me, I think they could do with just the odd now and again, just a quick 10-second promo interview, especially with your champions, for a match, to capture the thoughts going into it.
There was a lot of video packages tonight. I think there was at least three for each match.
There was loads, yeah.
You'd have the one advertising who's doing a song, and then you'd have a SummerSlam video, and then you'd have the promo package for the match.
Yeah, you're right.
Before every match, was it?
It is a bit overkill on NXT with that. The promo packages is non-stop. And there's not any, as I say, pre-match or post-match interviews, really. I think, for me, they could benefit from doing that. Nothing too over the top, nothing too long, not every match. Maybe just with your champions, at least. And a quick word with the winners of the championship matches after the match. But they could have hit home Cole, before that match, Cole being a bit angry and upset that his lads had been taken out, just to re-emphasise the point. But, him going down the whole route of, I don't need them, I'll be fine, it's just Ricochet, he's not special, that kind of shit,
And the next match, we had another title change when Kairi Sane defeated Shayna Baszler. It's been a bit...
This... I mean,
bit of a backlash on this match, which I'm surprised about. I thought this was a really good match.
I thought it was a fantastic match. I don't get the hype for Sane. That's wrong of me. I do get the hype, sorry. I'm not a big fan yet. Like, I enjoy your work, I'm just not, like, you know, fully invested in her, I suppose, is the best way to put it. Whereas Shayna, man, she is absolutely mint. From somebody who just turned up, how long was she training for before she got called up, do we know?
I don't know, off the top of my head.
Like, from the transfer from MMA to wrestling, because, my God, she's absolutely nailed it. I can't remember seeing somebody that's turned from their previous profession, whether it's MMA or whatever sports, into wrestling, and she's just absolutely nailed it. I think she's in my top 10 wrestlers at the moment. Yeah. She's mint. She's absolutely mint. Everything she does.
Every submission hold, I was like, oh, I don't know if it's just great camera angles, but they got the knee.
Oh, man. She's vicious. Every one of those, you know, kicks to the dodgy angled knee, or, you know, where she traps the fingers or traps the toes underneath one foot and then.
Oh, that kicks it, stamped on her ankle.
Every time she does anything like that, you just, oh, man, you feel it. Looks so good the way she does it. She's just nailed it. She's bloody good. Her temperament's brilliant. Her anger, her aggression's brilliant, her selling's good, her attacks are fantastic. I felt that particular move, the one where she unleashed hell on Sané's leg when she stomped on it, was too early in the match for me.
Yeah, it made me cringe.
Sané, she sold it for about 10 seconds, and then she was running around like a dafty again and climbing the top rope, and I thought, she's just done a move on you, she's just kicked you. And that put somebody else out for like 3 months or whatever it was, and somebody else had to go to the hospital. That was a move that she was using against people, and it was devastating.
That was an arm, wasn't it? So,
yeah. It's just a similar concept at the very least, you know what I mean? So if she's going to do it and it's going to be executed and it's going to be seen as this devastating move where the commentators are jumping out of the chairs and everybody's like, oh, everybody's wincing. But then Sané can carry on with the match. Is it Sane or Sané?
Sane. They pronounce it as Sane.
She just kind of shook it off a bit easy for me. Mm. But again, nitpicking, the match was fun. I thought the match was really good. Yeah. I thought it was really good. Shayna's mint. You know, I don't think she'd struggle to have a poor match with anybody.
Yeah, there's an argument that she's kind of stunted the women's division in NXT because she's so dominant.
She's bigger. She's better than anybody else on there by a country mile.
That could be a reason they could be bringing her up.
That is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that title loss. I'm hoping we'll see her on SummerSlam tonight.
Yeah, because they made a point of going to Ronda Rousey, and I can't remember the other two.
The four
horsewomen's names.
Made a comment of the four horsewomen. Blah blah blah. She needs to be called up, and I hope it is tonight. And get a straight. She's better than any. For me, she's better than anybody else on the main roster as well.
Hmm. So yeah, the only problem having Rousey as a face and Baszler as a heel.
I think you bring her. The thing is with Rousey, with her horsewoman gimmick thing, it's a really awkward situation they put her in, because if she's going against anybody else on the roster, I want her to be a heel, but then they had the whole thing with her against Stephanie and all that kind of stuff where they've made her a face. Fair enough, but. I don't know. I think I'm looking forward to hopefully the MMA losses being a heel faction.
They're going to have to, aren't they? If they want to do this,
of course.
NXT for women versus the MMA, they're not going to have the MMA as the faces in them. So they're going to have to change.
The whole point is they're all from MMA, so the argument is that they're all stronger than everybody else. They're all hard, you know. They'll knack everybody else. So you can't have four faces running rampant over everybody else.
It'd be pretty easy to turn Rousey heel.
She just needs to say the right thing at the right time on the mic.
Yeah.
But I think if Shayna, saying that, you could do the whole thing where Shayna gets called up, she's in a corner, and then now that would be a match, wouldn't it? Shayna Rousey.
Yeah.
Later on down the line, when Rousey's, you know, a bit more experienced under her belt.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I really hope Shayna's getting called up. I'd love to see some matches between her.
That's the only reason I can see it, and why they took the belt off her. Because they want to bring her up in the shake-up.
It's the only thing I can think of. Out of everybody on the card tonight, she's the only one that stands out that might get a call up if you were going to have to choose somebody. She'd be the one.
I can't. Yeah. So nobody else I'd want to desperately get moved up.
Nah, I think she needs to for her own sake because there's nobody else in the women's division in NXT that stands anywhere near her.
I just can't see what they'll do for the next November's the next pay per view. So you just got to have a batter everyone every week. And then put her in.
I don't know what.
And have her lose the Shane again.
I mean, the only thing she can potentially do is, well, apart from them two, who else is there at the moment in NXT?
Candice LeRae.
Women's wrestlers.
Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai.
Yeah. Nobody that stands out that's doing something. No. I suppose my point is nobody that's being utilized yet. And hopefully, if Shane does get called up, that'll create some space for somebody to do something with. Although they have been pushing, whatchamacallit, haven't they?
They like Lacey Lane, the most like Bianca Belair. So there's lots of women
who can. There's a few of them, and none of them are doing it for me yet. But gotta give them that opportunity, and I always will.
That's why I think getting Baszler out of the division will bring the rest of these women up.
Yeah, I agree. It'll at least create an even playing field where there's a sort of like a par, if you like, of a plateau that everybody's on the same sort of. A similar-ish level, apart from one or two, but there's going to be nobody that's... Yeah, I mean, Shane is heads and shoulders above absolutely everybody in that division, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I agree. Get her up. Hopefully tonight, that'll be fun.
Hi, this is Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
The next up was the championship match, so...
Jesus.
So we do a little bit of backstory on this. It was meant to be a triple threat match between Ciampa, Gargano and Aleister Black. But Black got a legitimate injury, which I think they've done brilliantly, how they've done it.
I've absolutely loved the whole whodunit angle, Cluedo. It's been good.
I loved how they get. So we'll show you the video of who was in the parking lot, and everyone's in the parking lot. It's about 20 people.
Absolutely everybody. It was so... Oh, yeah. I mean, that was so carny. It was excellent. I absolutely loved it. Like, they're all just sort of there. You got Tommaso walking down, sort of protecting his belt, looking sketchy. Everybody was doing... Like, it was just brilliant.
Yeah, it was. We walked out, Johnny was walking in, and then he got into the parking lot. The Unspeeded Era were driving off. Then you could see Sullivan in the background. And you get there, and there's...
Yeah.
What are they called? Heavy Machinery were there, right next to him. And you go, oh, there, look over there, there's Cassius Ohno having a cup of tea with Candice LeRae, and there's that new Brazilian faction. Oh, and there's EC3 in the background.
It was great. I absolutely love it. You know, you expected, it was the kind of thing we expected to start seeing some random old school, attitude era. Steve Blackman's just chilling out back there. Yeah. And, Bradshaw.
Having a game of cards.
I don't know. It's good. It's fun, and they've done something a bit more unique, and it's nice to see because it's looking great. Have you got any suspicions? Have you got any inklings or stuff?
I don't know. I saw Twitter followers, and a lot of them said Rikishi. with Cole dropping the belt, the most obvious is to then push him into a feud with Black. So I'm going with the Unspeakable Era.
Who push who into a feud with Black? Sorry,
Cole.
Yeah, but the only thing for me that doesn't make sense in a way is that they've taken him out. I don't know. Maybe it could be Ricochet.
The proper rumors are it was Johnny because he wanted to get Tommaso Ciampa by himself, one on one.
I don't know. It's whatever it is. It's going to be really convoluted, but it's fun, so it's fine. I'm happy with the fact that these two went one on one. Anyway, to be honest, I don't think having Black in this match, no matter how much I really really like Black, I don't think it would have added anything to it. I think this was a bloody good match, and what a finish, man! That was great. The whole match was just mint. It was just great. But you expect as much.
I've never seen a last man standing match because they're usually quite tricky thing to do properly because there's no falls. And because you have to, 10 seconds is quite a long time to try and wait and go, is he going to get up? And they always get up at 9. That one when they got up at 1, that was amazing.
Exactly. But it's like, referee gets to 9.5 and all of a sudden they've just had the spinach and they jump back up and the fiddles again.
My favourite bit was when Johnny kicked some bloke standing ringside in the face and then...
Did he?
Yeah.
I missed that. I saw when they were on the ramp
Johnny kicked
the crutch from underneath them and it went flying into the crowd and smashed
it. It wasn't one of the crowd, it was a member of staff. He kicked him.
Oh, yes.
But
Champa
knocked him into the ring, and then he started putting stuff, but he picked the bloke up and put him on top of Johnny, and then started putting chairs on top of him.
that whole attack was amazing. The running chair, knee, whatever it was, into his face, through the barrier, mm-hmm. and then the pile on, like you say, with chair, bloke. lamp.
It was
great. It was brilliant, and he got up, shock horror, but that finished though. Yeah, but on the ramp as well, he kicked. Tommaso had the crutch or what was left of it, Johnny kicked it viciously from underneath him, not realising that it went flying into the crowd at about 90 mile an hour. And it's a snapped piece of metal. fingers crossed, nobody was hurt from that. Because there was a crowd reaction to it, a bit of a...
What do you think this ranks in the three matches they've had so far? Some people are saying it's the worst of the three, but...
The only reason why it would be classed as the worst, in my opinion, if you're going to class it as a worst, is because the story needs to conclude.
Yeah.
And... for me, it still hasn't been concluded. there isn't an obvious end in sight. You can't. And I'm not complaining, because every time I watch them, I'm happy. It's cracking wrestling. It's a great match. If it was the worst of their matches, then it was still arguably the top two matches on the card. So it was still amazing. It was still a fantastic match.
There's rumours. That Gargano has legitimately dislocated his knee, so he could be out for a while, so it could be a while before we see this match again.
That's good, and maybe they need to hold off on it. Maybe this is the opportunity now, actually. Maybe this is the excuse that they need not to actually to do anything for a long, long time.
Yeah, because the best part of this was because it took a year, because Ciampa was injured. It took, 8 months before they even had a match properly? Mm-hmm. And there's a great psychological...
You've got the storyline now where Black's hopefully going to be not too much longer coming back.
No.
And it could be a case of all the fingers point towards Tommaso,
mm-hmm.
for whatever convoluted reason they come up with. So then that feud goes on, and that'll be a cracking feud. Only to later be revealed that it was Johnny that was the one who took Black out.
Yeah.
But the problem that we've got already is that Black's making noises as if he knows who it is who's done it.
Yeah. Maybe.
He's, I think he said something like, he did a recap thing, I saw that he said, I'm watching you, or something like that. I think he said on Twitter, I'm watching you.
I've not seen that yet.
He knows who it is. So if he knows who it is, it's not really very much you can do with the storyline other than he attacks whoever it is who's done it. Do you know what I mean? You can't sort of do the red herring.
Unless he doesn't know who it is, he just thinks he knows who it is.
Yeah. Interesting to see how they play it out.
Mm.
I like the idea of him and Tommaso going at it. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
And then Gargano comes back at the pitch at a later date, and then it turns out that it was him all along, and he did it for The Rock.
That'd be weird, having it? There was a rumour that they were going to turn Gargano heel and then send DIY up to the main roster as a heel tag team, which I wouldn't get.
No, I don't think that makes any sense at all. I agree. I do think now's the time to make... If there is a way, Johnny as a heel would be absolutely great right now. Like, he's just lost the plot of it, and he's pissed his wife off, and he doesn't care what the fans say. You could make him a bit of a heel like that, where he's like an angry, agitated, doesn't care what anybody says, he's not doing it for the fans anymore. He's bitter and angry, that kind of thing. Tommaso, I don't know what you... I don't know. Could he get... It depends. It all depends how they work it and how they write it. But the only, if this feud's to carry on, it'd be really, really interesting if they somehow tried to make Tommaso face and Johnny heel and twist it around like that. I can't see Tommaso being a heel, but I can definitely see Johnny being a... Sorry, I can't see Tommaso being a face,
yeah.
But I can see him being a heel.
I'm liking his little hinting at it at the moment. It's very... His intense, yeah, he's got an intense
that
face.
Whole, so. That whole thing where he was having... When Tommaso was saying, I'm sorry, exactly. On the stage.
Yeah, and just started kicking him in the face.
Me, and he thought about it, and he said, tough shit, and he did him anyway.
Yeah. So we did put a poll up, asking our Twitter followers who did A-Force. Attacked Alistair Black. 20% said Ciampa. 33% said Gargano. 23% said Lars Sullivan. 24% said Undisputed Era. So our Twitter followers think Johnny Gargano did it. Out of the options I gave him.
Gargano makes the more sense for me.
Yeah.
The only way that any of the others would make sense is if they don't want Black in the title picture at all. So
Sullivan would make sense because he put Sullivan out, didn't he? But.
It makes sense, but I think Sullivan's the kind of guy, his character, would do it sneakily. He doesn't care about smashing people up in front of anybody. He's not the kind of guy he would do it on the sly.
Somebody said it's the same person who did it to a Tommy because he never found out who it was.
Yes.
Right, so based on this card, the results of this card, what matches would you like to see at NXT War Games 2? Five matches we'll go for.
Dream versus EC3. I would like to see Dream, maybe a three-way between Dream, Ricochet and Cole.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
For the belt, and get Dream into that title picture for that belt. I think he'd be great in that role. He doesn't necessarily have to win it, but just associating him with that belt and keeping him in that kind of that frame, if you like, alongside Ricochet and Cole would be quite cool. I think there'd be a lot of interesting crack between Cole and Dream. I think that would be really fun. See them two verbally go at it, and Ricochet is obviously the loose cannon in between. I think I definitely wouldn't mind seeing that. I think we have to see Era versus whatchamacallit. Power Ballad. What are they called?
War Machine.
War Machine, yeah.
War Raiders.
They're not even called War Machine. War Raiders, that's it. Space Raiders. I think that's clearly what needs to happen next for that situation.
If Fish is... Well, would you like to see that as the War Games match? So you'd have Johnny Fish, Riley and Strong versus... Fish is Strong Style versus War Raiders and insert other person.
Do we need another team?
Well, they might do the same rules as last year, so they have three teams of three.
Well, this is the thing, okay. So what's the situation with injuries at the moment? When are people due back? Because that's something I always...
This is November, so I'm guessing everybody would be back. I don't know how long the twist of knee would be.
Because we've got a few people out now, or potentially out. We've got...
I think Black will be back by November. So definitely.
Black will be back by November. What about Fish?
I think Fish is nearly ready. He's coming out...
So there's your third guy for the Undisputed. So yeah, that would work. Tyler Bates, Seven, and Done. maybe Riddle.
Yeah, do it as Fish.
Sort of like aiming to start off with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of, you know, get him finding his feet and get him looking cool alongside Bates.
Yeah.
Seven. That could potentially work as he's just as like a bit of an intro match. And then, who knows, depending if he goes face a heel, it could be the reason they lose by being a bit of a prick or whatever. got a few things there. And then you could play the whole thing where Space Raiders don't need a third guy because they're so big and strong.
Possible partners, I was thinking Wolfgang or... Cassius Erno.
Would they want anybody though? They kind of come across like, we don't need anybody.
Don't need anybody. Yeah, they could do.
So they might play that whole strength by size kind of concept. But then you've got a couple of other tag teams as well that are sitting around doing nothing at the moment. Like Dorzovich and what's his name?
Heavy Machinery.
Heavy Machinery, who are an interesting team.
I like Dozovich. I think he's got bags of personality. I think Tucker Knight's a bit bland.
Yeah, I agree. So. I agree. I like Dozovich, and I like Birch and Tony Larkham as well as a tag team. There's a few. I don't know. They're not going to be used. Let's be honest. They're not going to be used at the next pay per view. But Dozovich, I'd like to see him doing something different. I think he needs to be doing something solo now. Maybe even as a muscle for somebody.
Yeah, that could be fun.
I don't know who at the moment.
So EC3, I think EC3 needs to go back to be a heel, and he needs some muscle just because he had Tyrus and Impact.
That could work. You could even use Heavy Machinery in general as a tag team, but maybe give them a bit of a revamp and make EC3 their kind of. There is muscle, if you like. They're not doing anything else at the moment.
The women's match is going to have Kairi Sane versus the winner of the Mae Young Classic. Then you've got the Mae Young Classic winner versus Mae Young Classic winner. It writes itself, really.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's especially if Shane is getting called up, yeah.
Mm. And as I mentioned before, I want to see Matt Riddle versus Keith Lee again, so that was my fifth match. I don't know if they'll do that, I suppose. Keith Lee's come slightly healed.
I think it's asking for a lot by November, but down the line, I agree. Based on what you've said, and based on what I've heard about the two, I think unless I don't know, it depends what they do with Riddle. I mean, who knows?
We have to fast track him because he says he wants to be the one who retires Brock Lesnar. So.
Well, yeah, okay. So be promoted to Raw first, and then
yeah.
Get beat several times in the first 3 months, and then maybe you can find the team for that. But I'd chuck him in if you're going to go over the War Games. I'd chuck him in with Bate and Seven, then he maybe turns heel, the whole shtick about the fact that he's too big for this kind of thing is more important. I don't know. Depends how they're going to showcase, and I've got no idea how they're going to vote them. There's been no hint at all.
So before we go, do you want to promote your social media? It's just come up on the hour.
Yes, indeed. No, that's gone quickly, hasn't it? again, just want to quickly say that I really thoroughly enjoyed that NXT as well. I thought it was great. Although I picked at it. That's what we do as fans, isn't it? But I thought it was fantastic. And
5 minute podcast. We said yes. That was great.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Anyway, Grapple Arcade. So we will be at MediaCon in September, which should be absolutely ace.
Lots and lots of fun.
Our beer is out now, and I think sold out at the moment.
Wow.
At least up here it is, but I know it's been dispatched to several places. We're doing another brewing in a couple of months' time, so keep your eyes open for Moonsault. What else are we doing? We're doing some retro stuff at MineCon, which is a Minecraft huge European exhibition thing. So we're doing like a retro section for those guys at the end of September. And in October, we're co-running Right in Retro, which is a retro games event in the Northeast, which should be loads of fun. We're going to be running a Street Fighter tournament.
Wow.
But there'll be loads and loads of good, as well as the wrestling stuff, obviously, but loads of fun stuff associated with that. There's all sorts going on, man. There's all sorts going on. So on Twitter, at Grapple Arcade, you can find out what we're doing there. I'd love to pretend that we keep up to date with Instagram and Facebook, but we don't.
No.
So we're on Twitter. Feel free to out on there. And we're always running prizes and competitions and stuff like that. General crack.
Amazing. So I hope you've enjoyed our show. So you can follow us on Twitter. It's at BBGWPod. And we'll see you for our review of SummerSlam. Good night.